Welcome to another episode of the Middle West Podcast. I'm your host, Taqib Musa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I'm joined by my co-host, Abdussami Arjumand.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Taqib, I thought you almost forgot to say salam at the beginning. What's going on?
You know what? We're moving towards the drifts of liberalism. And speaking of liberalism and secularism, we have someone from the very secular nation of France joining us today. So we have the president of EMF, which is
Etudiant
Musulman de France. You have to put like a snobby accent when you say it.
Exactly.
So this is the French Muslim Students Association. We're very privileged to be joined by the president, Hania Shalal. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for joining.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
So Hania, it's great to have you on. We want to get a little bit of your perspective on some of the latest things happening in France, but also, I guess, a little bit of how France compares to Britain and those types of things. But before we get into all of that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about EMF, and how you came to be involved in EMF?
Okay, so as you said, my name is Hania Shalal. I live here in France, more especially in the beautiful city of Strasbourg. I study education. I'm doing my master's degree, and I was elected last October president of EMF. So EMF is like the sister, I would say, organization of FOSIS, but in a different kind of organization. In France, we don't have the equivalent of ISOCs, but we do have, we call them sections, and we have one section per city, so way less than the number of ISOCs that FOSIS has.
So, FOSIS is the Federation of Student Islamic Societies in UK and Ireland. You said you don't have ISOCs at universities. Is this like, do you not have any student societies or?
No, it's not the system. We have student associations, but it's not societies in a sense. It's more of independent associations. And so basically we are organized as one section per city. And if I am not wrong, I think in the UK there can be several universities in the same city, while in France it's mostly one university per city, except obviously for Paris and Lyon, which are the biggest cities in France.
Hania, sorry, so the one thing I'm interested in is that, so you mentioned that there aren't no such thing as societies, ISOCs on universities. But can you find other kinds of societies on university campuses, like that are not religious? Do they exist as well? Or because I'm just wondering, is it just like a secular French kind of thing, which is why there are no Islamic societies on campus, and which is why you're having to work within the region? Or is it just a general kind of thing where in universities they just don't have the student unions and things like that?
We work as associations, which are independent in themselves. So you can find. So basically, you have two kinds. You have two kinds of associations. You have the religious ones, and the secular ones. And due to the French context, obviously, in the universities we can't be religious as we would like to be. So we are a secular association, and we act and we do secular events, even though in our name and in our actions we try to emphasize on the ethics that Islam's is giving us. So it's quite of a paradoxal.
When you say your session is secular, so what's the session actually called? Isn't it called Muslim Session? Muslim Association of, let's say, Strasbourg.
It is. But in the actions, we can't, for example, organize religious acts. For example, we can't organize prayers, or we can't organize halaqas in our name. But informally, some will organize by themselves. Some of our members.
Who organizes prayers on campus and stuff? Is that the university who do it, or?
No one organizes prayers on
Is there such
campus.
thing as a is there such thing as a prayer room on campus is the question, I guess.
No, there is no such thing. So basically, one of the first time I came in the UK, I think it was in the University of Glasgow. We were quite shocked because we saw that you guys had a prayer room, and you were even organizing Jumu'ah, and it was such an odd thing for us because it's not even thinkable to pray on campus. So, for example, in my university, in the east of France, we're having another kind of concept of secularism, but we are lucky because we have a mosque quite near the universities. But in other universities in France, Muslim students really struggle to pray and find a spot where to pray because there are no room that are put as prayer room by the universities. So
So
it's not even,
I guess this is our perception is, and maybe we're a little bit my perception of France has been that it's actually there is a fair amount of Muslims there in terms of Algerian diaspora, Moroccan diaspora in particular, North African diaspora, but also other nations. And do you know what the percentages are? So I think in the UK it's 6% at the last census. It's probably gone up since then. Do you know what the percentages of Muslims are in France?
Okay, so officially, the ethnically and religious percentage and are not allowed in France, remainings of the Second World War and the trauma the society was experiencing after what the Jews had to leave.
Okay, because they maintained lists of who was Jewish, and that was what the Nazis
Yeah,
then used to
precisely.
target. Okay.
Precisely. So in France, it's not allowed to like count or even ask in a survey if you are from this religion or not. So there is none, not no official number, but some unofficial numbers are giving like between 6 and 9%. So should be maximum 6 millions or 7 millions. Muslims in France.
Okay, so
But again, it's defining
that's nearly 8%, isn't it? 'Cause again, correct me if I'm wrong.
something like this. Yeah, in the middle, you can say it so.
Okay, so that's very interesting. So there's a large number of Muslims. Are there a large number of mosques? Do you think it's proportional? Because you said in some cities they struggle, but you said in Strasbourg, is there just one mosque that's near the city, or are there others dotted around?
No, so basically the mosque I was mentioning is the one just nearby the university. But alhamdulillah, we managed for the past decade, I would say, to build a lot of mosques. Not only in my city, but all around France, there are a lot of projects of mosques who happen to finish. So alhamdulillah, the situation changed on this perspective, but it's more about the feeling and the faith, the fact that people believe in France is, it's not like the UK. Like it's, I would say that it's quite normal to declare that you are a believer in the UK, but in France, it's like seen as something under, like something below a non-believer. So it's more about the mindset, I would say.
So one thing I'm interested in actually is, so we've kind of talked about a bit about the French Muslim community, the vast majority being from North African background. We said that there's about roughly 8 million, possibly more Muslims. How many of them are currently in university, or at what time or period in time did a vast majority of these actually start going into university to study? Because, I mean, going back to the UK context, the first kind of batch of migrants started coming in between the 50s and 60s, and really it wasn't even their children, it was their children's children that started going to university. So it wasn't until the late 90s and the early 2000s did we see a huge bunch of young Muslims going into university that are homegrown. And prior to that, majority of Muslim students in the UK were usually international students. So people from Arab backgrounds, people from Malaysian, Indonesian background. So like, what is the context of, for example, the education levels within the Muslim community, and how many of them are currently going to university, and how many is this like the first generation of young French Muslims in university, or what's the current feel like?
I think it's more about the second generation, but and we don't have like official numbers, so I can't give you a proper number. But this is something that is quite interesting because I can relate with the history of EMF. To give you a bit of context, at the beginning, EMF was founded by international students who came in France and founded the organization. And in the early 2000, there was a shift between the old generation and the new one, who was mainly sons and daughter of the first generation who acceded to university. So I think it could be similar in a sense of the timeline around the early 2000s. But again, I don't have like proper number to give you. I would love to elaborate on it, but sadly,
No,
it's
not at all.
not provided. So
Okay, I guess bringing on to this other question, which is very popular, is there's been a history for the past 30, 40 years within France of hijab in the schools, in public schools, and I'm not sure if that applies to universities or not. Have you had a personal experience with this at all, with the ban or anything similar?
It doesn't apply in universities, even though there are some projects, law projects that are tried to be pushed every 2 or 3 years to ban hijab in universities. But you have also to understand something else about universities in France is that they are quite independent in a way that the understanding and the history of universities in France allows the institutions to be quite open and a field of confronting ideas. So the idea of banning something is not really popular in universities. And even the there is this organization called the Conference of University Presidents, who gave already a statement about eventually banning hijab from university, and they stated that they were against it. So,
Okay, so that's quite
but
good. At
it's
least, at
something
least on
that
a,
is tried to be pushed.
yeah. So it's something that's trying to be pushed. What is the? I think you said universities in specific. So with schools, it's still banned.
So basically, the law of secularism since 2004 applies to schools, and in schools it applies also to the children who attend schools. So until your majority, until you get your baccalaureate, we call it, your end of high school degree, you are considered as an underage, as a fragile, and maybe you could be influenced by this or this. So the idea and the concept of school is quite political in France, and it has also a huge and rich and movemented history. So the law of secularism is has been passed in 1905, I think, or 1901, I don't recall. There are two laws actually, so sometimes I get mixed up. But anyway, in the context of the law back then, it was about to reduce the influence of the church on schools. So it always has been about reducing the influence of religions in
So You mentioned
in
yeah, so
public spaces.
you mentioned like how currently in schools hijab is banned as well. What about like in generally speaking other kind of public places, or is it just for people who are under 16? So for example, if you were to go to a bank or if you were to go to a shopping center, I want to draw your attention, of course, to there was an incident I think not too long ago during a school trip where this mother went to like a local authority council session or something like that, where she was commanded to remove her hijab. So what about in other kind of public spaces, and can you even t tell us about this situation? Because I remember actually, it kind of touched upon the news over here for a bit as well. So if you can just tell us about that situation.
Okay, so basically, we consider ourselves as a state of rights. So everyone is entitled to their own freedom of religions and freedom of practicing. I have to admit that there are some groups who want to push an understanding of the secularism that is a bit extreme. Not a bit, actually, it's quite extreme. But there are some ideas that are coming from the far right and also from secularist groups who wants to push for hijab banning in all public spaces. And also there is also another thing to keep in mind is that there has been so much discussions about secularism and what it means. So it confused people at some point, and some don't even understand what is behind the law and what is properly about in the draft of the law. So there are both parts. So people don't know, and other know and want to push their own agenda in let's say the whole public spaces
I
of
guess
France. So
one of my questions about that is, so what do you do as a hijabi who's under 16, and how do people tend to deal with it? Like, is there a big culture of going to private school instead, or do people kind of have to accept it and
so it's like, I mean, it has been more than 15 years now that the ban on public schools, the hijab ban in public schools has been passed. There has been some calls to assess whether the law was effective or not. The government hasn't assessed properly. I mean,
So what do people do? Like, people just have to accept that, or is there like a way around it that
yeah,
people are
I
following?
mean, I think there is a part of people who just accepted it. And others would hope that someday the law
But
would be
ultimately, if a school child goes, because like there's tax laws in this country, but people like Abdussamino know that they don't really apply to them. But the
just to say
like for
again,
example
I'm
the.
employed, I have two jobs, I am no longer unemployed. So I
So
pay my
the
taxes.
um the so the same with the hijab rule, like is it a norm that people ignore it and just go into school, or will they actually pull you out of class, or
Oh no, they actually ban you from entering the school if you wear hijab. So this is actually something that is real. So the girls had to take it off before entering the building. So it was quite violent for some girls. And
wow.
I guess this is
yeah,
where
we
I think some of this
yeah.
comes into, and this is where I actually I get a little bit confused with French politics, because there's, so for example, taking the example of the guy who introduced the ban in 2004, I think was Jacques Chirac.
Yeah, it was
But
him.
he was also very ardently anti-Iraq war, which in this country is like a decider. Like, one of the reasons why a lot of Muslims are so anti Tony Blair is because he was very he was kind of happily participating in the Iraq War, which later on turned out to be completely unjustified. And so where does this, because even the left right doesn't really make sense to me. A secularist should be left wing, but here Macron seems to be the right wing guy, and he's the one using secularism to basically push Muslims aside. Whereas in this in the UK, and I think to an extent in America, although again lines are different over there, in the UK, the left wing is actually the ones who are saying, no, we should have openness and everything. And a lot of the right wing are actually saying, no, this is a Christian country and the Muslims are foreigners. Mm-hmm. So how does that kind of apply in terms of this is very strange to me that in secularism France? Is being used to beat Muslims over the head rather than freedom of religion, which comes with secularism.
Okay. I just want to go back to something you said about Jacques Chirac pushing the law and passing the law about hijab ban in public schools. So actually, you also have to know that something is quite interesting to know is that the first cases of problems between, obviously, the first problem that was raised about hijab, it was raised in 1989. So it was almost 15 years before the actual law. So some people in France and some researchers would tend to say that it may took about 15 to 20 years to pass a law, and it is like in between, it's a hard lobbying against individual liberties, such as wearing hijab. So also to get back to the idea of the political parties and who uses secularism, in France, the left wing is also the one that uses secularism, and the right wing is also the one. So basically everyone is using secularism, except the, I would say maybe the ecologists, the Greens, and a small part of the left wing. But it's such a concept that is deeply rooted in France, that it's almost normal, and it's used as a tool to restrain liberties at some point. But it's not only coming from one side of the hemicycle. It's coming from all the sides, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, talking about the politics and moving away from like the more kind of typical day-to-day stuff, you mentioned how briefly how politics has been used to kind of silence certain Muslim rights. How is it like to be politically active in France in terms of is it something that's are Muslims engaging with the system? Is there a sense of yes, that we can use politics in our favor to make sure that our rights are upheld? Or is there more of like a mentality of just kind of giving up, saying that, look, we can never change? And even to the level of, guys, let's just give up on France. They just don't like us anymore. Maybe we should move.
I think, and this would be, you can stop me if I'm wrong, but I think it would be similar in the UK. But sometimes we underestimate the engagement that Muslim communities are having in our countries. So I think that it would be false to say that the Muslim community in France is like dropping out the game. I think that there is actually a part who just wishes to live in peace and far away from these discussions that are again and again, and it's like at the end it's like a cycle. Once you finish with something else is coming up afterwards. So I think that at some point we, and I say we is more including also all the people who just wish to see France as an open country and a diverse and an accepting country. We just wish to have and to push for more diversity, but it's not as easy as in the UK, because I think the whole system is quite different.
So you, of course, used we there very interesting. Sorry, go on.
was gonna say, as Brits, we're very polite. We've even accepted the likes of Thaqib. So Thaqib, welcome to the UK, of course.
Right. Thank you. I wanted to point out that we that you used there, Hania. So when you say we, and I guess this comes back to a question that we wrestle with here, is that how French do you feel, and how accepted do you feel in French society? Do you think that your existence in France is a little bit shaky at all? Do you think that you're not welcomed completely? Do you not feel ownership of the society because of some of the negatives that we've been mentioning? And if not, why not? What are some of the positives that you find with France that make you really want to affiliate to France and be French?
I think it would be a mistake to like put France as a whole. I think it's not a monolith, and it would be wrong and unfair to just categorize the whole country with and the small minority that is quite loud. I have to admit, but yeah, if I don't feel shaky in my citizenship, as I told you, so I'm also from African descent, Algerian specifically, and the history between both is quite conflictuous, was quite conflictuous in the past. But I feel that now I'm managing between both, and I think it's a richness to hold both. And I think that if it was shaky for someone, it would be shaky for the ones that doesn't accept my citizenship, and that's a loss for them. So no worries.
I think in light of something that's a lot more recent, which is the recent speech that was delivered, I think it was sometime late last month, by Emmanuel Macron, who mentioned things about waging, or his official declaration of waging a war on Islamism, and his comments on how religious kind of rulings should never be above republican law. When you hear things like that from the ruler of your country, how does it affect the tone in France, and what does it even mean for like the wider European community, you know, given that France itself is one of like the front runners of the European community?
So I mean, I think there is an effect on other European countries. Due to my organization, I met a lot of Europeans, Muslim Europeans, who told me that they were also scrutinizing what's happening in France, also all over the world. Once I met people in Australia, and they told me that they were following what's happening and really carefully and really closely what's happening in France. So I think that not to feel so proud, but we in a way are having a model that is questioning, and people are maybe wondering how does it work. So so it has an effect, we can't deny it. About the comments of Macron about the war on Islamism, I think at the end of the day, I think it's just there are a lot of things happening in France, and Islamism is not the only, and it's not the only problem that we are facing, and the timing of the declarations were quite
so are you saying Islamism is one of the problems that you're facing?
It is, obviously. I mean, all countries, when it's about terror,
is Islamism about terror?
Because
I think to take a step back and go with what do you mean by Islamism, and what do you think Mr. Macron means when he says Islamism?
Because here's the thing, Hania, and Thaqib as well, is that I feel like the term Islamism is being thrown around so much to kind of categorize and put everything under one kind of banner, when we haven't even defined it. Every single person will have a different
Precisely.
Definition. And a single person will probably say, oh, it means political Islam. What does political Islam mean? Because if you're trying to say that political Islam is, and this is the thing which I think is problematic about Macron saying this, because by saying this, I think that he's marginalizing a whole bunch of his electorates and a whole bunch of French Muslims, which is that if you're by political Islam, if you're trying to say that anything that legislates a Muslim to do something, five daily prayers is a legislation for a Muslim. So for a person to be following 5 daily prayers, that's legislation. Therefore, that's, I don't know, is that political Islam? In which case, are you trying to say a Muslim who prays 5 times a day is an Islamist? I mean, yeah, so doesn't that really damage the work that or marginalize the Muslim community in France a lot more when you have your own president saying words like that and using terminologies like that, which perhaps are not really thought of thoroughly?
I see what you mean. I think that so obviously there is a misunderstanding of what is a proper Muslim and what is expected as a Muslim. I mean, sometimes people present themselves even in the media as Muslims and without denying their Muslimness, they deny others the simple practice of the faith. So even being Muslim is not properly defined. So yeah, to get back to what you said, Samia, yeah, I agree with you totally about the word Islamism, and of course we should have defined it. But for me, it's the extremism that is behind some people who use Islam as a tool. But I mean, when I get back to the comments of Macron's, it was all about the timing, and you also have really to keep that in mind because we are facing in France like major social issues, and the timing was not random. It was at a time where the retirement reform was beginning to be discussed. It was huge. He had a huge contestation and protests in the streets. So. And
Sorry,
it's something that
were
is
the protests against him, or were the protests
against
against?
the no the project of retirement reform. So it's quite interesting to see that every time that this government or any other government before had a difficult issue to deal with socially, there was an interesting timing for new or old questions to be addressed. So
I guess
I think that's
what I'm trying,
it's a joker for me.
so what I
I
what
see
I'm
it as
kind of getting is they're using it as a way to appeal to their right wing voters, and basically Muslims are an easy target, which I guess we have a little bit of as well here with, Boris Johnson can say things like niqabis look like letterboxes, and that's okay, and he'll still win the election because ultimately it's more important to pander to the right wing. Do you think that's a kind of isn't that almost a sensible strategy for a right-wing person to do? As in, how do we as Muslims counter that and make ourselves so much more kind of like how do we do outreach to the right wing to make sure that actually people don't have these misconceptions about us? And
Okay.
yeah, sorry.
I get your question. I think that even before going to the right wing parties or right wing groups, I think that when this kind of card is being played, we have to recenter the debate and readdress the real issues because Muslim or not, we all face the same struggles. I mean, unemployment is not about being Muslim or not. Retirement reform is not about being Muslim or not. It's and I think that if we get more and more engaged into these topics and denounce how the government or the political sphere is using this card to just not be at the not just meet the expectations that we have of them, I think that we'll have a bit of work to do, but yeah, we definitely need to address these kind of issues before reacting at every time. I
Okay.
think sometimes we need to be a bit more proactive.
I guess another question that I have is you mentioned that both sides of the French political sphere seem to be very seem to come and they draw their ideas basically from secularism. I guess my question to you is, as a Muslim, what position do you take on secularism? Do you think that's the that's the way you want to you envision France being? Do you think that's your ideal? And do you think that ultimately secularism is completely compatible with your practice of the faith?
I mean, the when we get back again, when we get back to the spirit of the law, it doesn't actually secularism ensures me and many others to freely practice. But what is really here at the center of the problem is the misunderstanding of the secularism. It's not the secularism in itself. It's more about how it is used and misused to push some agendas that are restraining liberties. So yeah, personally, I don't have any problem with the law in itself, because as I told you, it's about separating the law and the state, the state and religious affairs. But yeah, at the end, it's not it's not a problem in itself, and it hasn't been like for the past 100 years. It's just how you use it and how you misuse it. Yeah.
Okay, so post 2003, and I think you mentioned that is secularism being used to restrain your liberties a little bit. We've seen mm-hmm. In the past few years, in particular, with the kind of women being forced to remove burkinis on the beach mm-hmm. or things like that. Do you think there's a conversation to be had, and people are actually doing that? Are they moving away from France because they feel like they can't practice? Like, for example, not being able to attend Jum'ah regularly if your university mm-hmm. doesn't happen to be near a masjid, or you know, if you're a 15, 16-year-old, maybe you have an issue with hijab. Maybe actually for young men having a beard, if they consider it to be wajib, they're not able to do it. And is this a big kind of area of conversation in France where actually we feel like it's restraining our liberties so much that we don't feel like we can live here anymore?
Again, as I told you earlier, France isn't to take as a one block, and I think the Muslim community also isn't to take as a one block. I think that it's understandable that people don't feel that they are in the right environment in France, and it's up to everyone to seek happiness and seek a better environment for themselves, even outside of France. It's okay, but it's not the majority, and it's definitely it's not definitely a topic that we talk about. But for those who seek to go out of France, I think it's a shame for France, because at the end we're talking about French citizens who were born in France, grew up in France, studied in France. They cost for their education, their employment, and I think it's a loss for France at the end. And I don't like counting what we are worth, but it's a loss, I think, for France. But again, it's just a minority, and it's not the topic that we are we don't talk about it. I mean, it's just individual and up to everyone to seek. I think it's the same for those who go, for example, in the US or in the Emirates for work or for a better tomorrow. So, I mean, there is no difference.
Okay. I guess I have one closing question, right? I feel like this episode has been mm-hmm. a little bit anti-France, and I don't think that's fair, actually. The impression I have gotten from many Muslims is actually France is a pretty good place to live. And actually, one of the biggest European Quran academies is based in a chateau outside of Paris, and a lot of people actually from the UK go there to learn the Quran and Tajweed and things like that. So, I guess from your perspective, what is it about France that makes you really, I mean, obviously one part of it is it's your home, you grew up there, but what do you really love about French society? And this is basically your pitch, right? This is your elevator pitch for France. And if you convince us, then we're all going to move there. Abdesemi half lives there anyway, Michel.
You can't use cheese. You can't use cheese. You can't use baguettes. You can't use wines, although inshallah you don't drink wine. Use any typical French stereotypes.
Macarons? Is it?
Emmanuel Macron.
That's a good one.
I think it's... No, I mean, what I love about France, I don't know, like, I was born here, I grew up here, and I get the codes and I get the culture. I mean, everyone, and I feel home. I feel that I am home here. So what is it that I love about France? I don't know. Maybe the richness of the culture, the strong the strong sense of the state, the sense of the equality that is supposed to be our value. There are a lot of things that I love about France and that I have integrated when I grew up. So I don't know. What do you love about UK? So it could be the same question. So yes. I don't know how to explain it.
I think that's a very fair answer. What do you love about the UK? And actually, a lot of British people will find it very hard to answer that question. I guess there's a notion of if your university's there, or there's a level of economic opportunity there, but that's not why you make something home. It's deeper than I think that's what I want to get at, is that the impression I sometimes get is that actually. They're not holding up to their side of equality, etc. But actually, in a lot of ways, maybe they are. Do you think there's a risk to future generations living anywhere in Europe, actually, generally, there's a risk to eroding our values? And what do you try to do to preserve that? And I mean that more in a religious way, not a cultural way, because I appreciate a lot of our communities are largely migrant, but actually even from there are plenty of you could say, like, you know, people who've been in Britain, their families have been here for generations, or have been in France for many, many, many generations. What do you think we need to do to preserve Islam and not erode that away? I don't know if that question makes sense, actually.
In general, yeah, I see. But I think that in general, we have to be aware that what we hold for granted isn't it. It's not. The right of practicing is not granted. Like, we have to be aware and conscious that it's something that we have also sometimes to fight for in the most peaceful but also strongest way. So yeah, we just have to be aware and vigilant, I would say. Like, not let anything slip from our rights. And at the end, a right is never a given. You always have to fight for it and to grab it. So.
Would you come over to the UK though, if we gave you all the prayer
I love the UK, but in the UK I love Scotland.
Where is Scotland? Why would you go there?
No.
Scotland's a very beautiful place, but London's better. And just don't
actually
go to
for the funny story. When I finished my mandate as local president. They offered me a small piece of land in Scotland. So
you're
also a lady. Yeah.
You're a landlady. Or landlord. Yeah. I don't know. What do you call it, Dr. My English
landlady.
Is terrible.
Yeah, landlady. A landlady, I think.
That wasn't very hard. Yeah, but... I'm very disappointed in you. Maybe you should go to France, because your English levels clearly are not very...
I speak like 10 languages, okay? It's hard.
So yeah, and obviously I love UK, but I don't know. I love visiting it, especially Scotland, because I think that there are a lot of things to see a lot of natural places that are really worth the trip. After all, I haven't seen all, but no, I mean, France has a special place in my heart, so I'm
Oh,
sorry,
that's nice.
guys.
Okay, thank you very much for
When
that.
you were Hania, when you were wrapping up, you mentioned about how we should be fighting for our liberties, because they're not something that we earn, it's something we have to fight for. It reminded me of something a friend of mine said to me very recently. If you're not at the table, then you're definitely on the menu.
You're on the menu, yeah. I've heard it
So
again yesterday, I think. So yeah, this is something you and we have to keep in mind always.
yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
All right, well, good
But
luck with
yeah,
everything in France with your campaigning and everything. Actually, there's a lot more to ask you, especially on the Islamism point. And of course, we'll have plenty more to discuss. So hopefully, we'll have you on in the future, perhaps in person, if you come over or we're there, or another dial-in. And best of luck. Thank you very much for joining.
Merci,
Is
Anya. Nous sommes contents.
there
Merci à vous.
is there a Twitter or something that people can follow you? Are you active on Twitter, Instagram, any of those on either you or your organization?
My organization is on Twitter is at EMF ASSO, ASSO Association. And yeah, my Twitter is like my last name, Shalal dot Anya with an H. Please do
Okay.
not forget it.
Thank you very
And
much.
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You can follow us on at the Middle West PC. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can email us on podcast@themiddlewest.co.uk. So we have a new website. We haven't launched the website yet, but we're going through a rebrand. But the email is live, podcast@themiddlewest.co.uk. You can also send us your suggestions, your comments, anything else if you think we weren't fair to the French, and any other comments. And of course, we're always looking for more team members. And last but not least, you can listen to this podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been your host, Thaqib Musa, and hopefully see you in another 2 weeks. Assalamu alaikum.